When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that it was in this way that he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." How can we say death died this day? We see death around us. It invades our lives, sometimes when we have watched it coming from far off, sometimes those shocking days when it has stolen from us something we have valued and could not have expected. Yet this is the claim we make, that here death died. And perhaps we can understand it a little when we realize that at this place we were put on trial. And all those things by which we separate ourselves from God, the hatreds, the mortality, the weariness, the depressions, the fickle causes, the things that are unworthy of us, all those things rallied to show what they could do, and they can kill. But then that is all they can do. That is all death and hatred and vengeance and all those things can ever accomplish. They can kill, but that is not much of an achievement. There was something else on trial here. A love that chose not to kill. A love that responded to all those uglinesses and evils and hatreds with patience and suffering, and the desire to draw near. When love responds to hatred and death, then death dies. It does everything it can do. It can only kill. But when love responds, life is restored. It happened this week. The picture you see is of a man, the one on the right. His name is Robert Cadieux. His wife was killed in a traffic accident this summer. She was hit from behind by a driver who had fallen asleep at the wheel totally negligent. His driver deprived him of his soulmate and deprived his children, as he says, of their barber, their tutor, their chauffeur, their mentor, their best friend. That driver is the person on the left. His name is Felix Laframboise. There was a trial, but Robert didn't know about it. They didn't even invite he or his family to the trial, and he protested. He wanted his day in court. He wanted to be able to stand up and say what this had cost him and his family and describe his pain. And so he appealed, and the appeal went through, and he had his day in court. And he stood up and he read his statement, his victim impact statement, and it took him a long time because he kept breaking down in tears, and others would come forward and say, "Can I read it for you?" And he said, "No, I have to do this." And in that trial, his love was displayed. The love that he lost was felt. And he closed the statement looking at in the eyes of this young man, a young man who fell asleep that night at the wheel. And he said, "I want you to stand up here now and look me in the eye and tell me that you are sorry." And so Felix stood up. He said, "I wanted you here at the trial. I didn't understand why you weren't here. I needed to be able to have this opportunity to stand and look at you and tell you how very sorry I am, and to ask for your forgiveness." I give Robert Cadieux a lot of credits. I am proud of him. I am in awe of him. He said, "You know, I don't want this to take your life too." And that picture is of them outside the courthouse, looking each other in the eye and shaking hands. And Robert saying, "I forgive you. Never fall asleep again, but live your life." At this cross, he looked upon those who were crucifying him. He looked upon us and he said, "Father, forgive them." And he, in the end, gave a loud cry. Now, you have to understand, we who are not familiar with crucifixions would not know that people who were crucified did not give loud cries when they died. Crucifixion was an ugly, horrible way that took a long time, and it slowly suffocated you until at the end you had no breath left. You simply died. And it was when this centurion saw that it was in this way that he breathed his last, with a cry of victory, the apostle of John's gospel gave it words. He had him say, "It is finished." Luke says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He's quoting Psalm 31, verse 5, which says, "You have saved me." These are cries of triumph. Love completes the task. Love is not frightened by death. Love is not frightened by rejection. Love is not frightened by the hatred and spite of all the powers that would try to suppress it. Love responds to death, and death dies. And this cross is empty. And we are called now to live that life after death. Sure, it is around us. Sure, it steals those we love from us, but it cannot keep them. Death has died. It has shown all it can do, not much of an achievement. And love endures. It is finished. God has won.
some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
darkest night, you